This is HPR episode 2583 entitled, Random Rant. It is hosted by the dude, and is about 15 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, rant on how US sound recordings copyright laws are weird and how I misused Penguin.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey, listeners of Hacker Public Radio, this is the dude here, back again, just on like a somewhat of a rant, but open source gaming right now. I'll get back to that some other time when I actually have some time to go out and find open source games and to look at them. And see if they're good. But anyway, this is really what I kind of want to talk about. I remember back in the day, there was this Ogcast. And to those that aren't familiar with the term, an Ogcast is a podcast that's in like the .og file format. Or other non-patented formats, but pretty much essentially not MP3 or .wave, but more specifically OGG. But anyway, there's this OGCast that was called Juice Penguin. I really, really liked it. It was a music podcast. It was like a radio show, which you would pretty much listen to music that you haven't really, you know, heard. It wasn't really popular. But it was really cool to go down, like, the rabbit hole and listen to, like, all, like, these obscure musicians. And it's a shame that it's gone. I don't know why it's gone. I don't know if the person, like, running it just didn't really have the time. Or, he got, a cease and desist letter. Because of how copyright is, and this is what gets me into my rant, because I was thinking, you know, since Juice Penguin is dead, maybe someone could try to fill in that void. And really, you gotta get like a thing of like music and look at like the copyright status of like each song. Luckily, like, I know quite a few musicians that they would probably let me do like a Juice Penguin thing and showcase their music, like I did with like a radio show that I had when I was in college, but that's gonna take a little bit. So I figure maybe to get this started off, I could probably, you know, look into the public domain and see if I can find any sound recordings. And yeah, the copyright things for sound recordings in the United States is freaking stupid. Like everything else, it's like before 1923 is automatically in the public domain, except for sound recordings. Like, really? And there's a reason why it's different, because they didn't have a copyright on sound recordings until like sometime in like the 70s. And before then, it was just state laws, and it's still that way. With I still say that it is kind of BS, because let's face it, like, the people in, like, the late 1800s, early 1900s, you know, pretty much everything before 1923, and then 2019, everything before 1924, like, are big music companies still making money off of, like, those specific recordings? I really rather doubt it. Especially since the sound quality on, like, wax cylinders and, like, the old shellac records or whatever the heck they had back in the early 1920s, the 1910s, 1900s, and 1890s, like, it's not like they really had the best sound quality then, and to be honest, like, the sheet music is in the public domain. Why isn't the original recordings in the public domain? It would make total sense. But right now, all that you can really find, unless someone specifically records something from, like, the sheet music or something of their cells and specifically puts in the public domain, you're going to have a hell of a time trying to find something, with the exception of the John Philip Sousa marches that are done by the Marine Corps band in the United States, because if the government makes a recording, it's in the public domain. At least the recording is. The song might not be, but since John Philip Sousa marches are, you know, made in the 1800s, they're in the public domain. So, unless someone wants to, like, have a internet radio show or, like, a podcast like Juice Penguin with public domain songs, it's literally going to be nothing but John Philip Sousa marches by the Marine Corps band, and there isn't really much variety, and it kind of stunts a lot of creativity, especially, like, in all honesty, like, with nowadays where you have electronic music, which they do, like, a lot of samples, a lot of remixes, like, how cool would it be if someone, like, took, like, old ragtime tunes and, like, made EDM out of it? Like, I know some people have done it for, like, with, like, electro swing, which is EDM, but, like, something, like, really, really, like, crazy, like, modern EDM with, like, you know, Scott Joplin, or, of course, Scott Joplin, a lot of his stuff wasn't really recorded back in the day. It was recorded on piano rolls, and that's maybe public domain, I'm not sure, but, like, shall we say, if someone, like, in the 1900s actually recorded themselves playing, you know, Maple Leaf Rag, that's not in the public domain, unfortunately. Unless, like, copyright ran out, but, of course, they didn't really have a copyright back then, so it's under the umbrella thing on, you know, the state rules, and different states are, like, have various measurements of strictness, and what I'm basically trying to say is that all copyright laws should be the same across the board. Like, people shouldn't have to hire a damn lawyer to figure out what they can and cannot do, what's in the copyright. People should be allowed to create, and also take inspiration from the past. I mean, for goodness sakes, like, look at Disney. Like, most of their, like, cartoons, like Snow White, Cinderella, Robin Hood, all that stuff is public domain. Disney would not be where it's at without the public domain. And it's just really ridiculous. I mean, look at, and also, like, different popular songs, like, pretty sure In the Pines, which is also known, Where Did You Sleep Last Night, popularized by Leadbelly, and also recently, in the 90s by Nirvana, that song's in the public domain. House of the Rising Sun is an old folk song from the public domain. The Animals, that's their biggest hit. Now, grant, those recordings, I don't think, should be really in the public domain, because, well, I mean, Lead Bellies probably should, but that's my opinion. But, like, in all honesty, I'm not saying, like, any recordings of public domain songs should be in the public domain, but I do believe that if the artist, like, passed away, that recorded it, passed away, like, I don't know, like, 50 years ago, or, like, you know, pretty much, like, if the recording's, like, almost 100 years old, you know, like, 190, 80 years old, like, it should be in the public domain. We shouldn't have to wait till, like, 2060 something for pre-1970s stuff to be in the public domain. Now, granted, I could see that with, like, you know, stuff in the 60s and the 50s, 40s, but, like, 20s and 30s, like, really. It's very, very ridiculous, and our copyright laws are super, super strict and completely ridiculous. And this is coming from an artist here, which copyright laws are supposed to be made to protect us artists, but in all honesty, like, a lot of cases, it just stunts a lot of things, because who's to say, like, if you're making a riff that you say that you made yourself, it's too similar to, like, another riff that's, copyrighted and when you get sued. You know? And it's really easy to do in rock music because there's only so many riffs out there. Like, pretty much, if, like, the Kinks really wanted to, like, they could sue every artist out there. Because they've wrote every single riff out there. And people shouldn't really have that much power to do that. And that being said, hopefully somebody could write somebody in, like, Congress or something to really, really lax those laws. But it's probably not going to happen because, you know, a lot of corporations have a lot of money and they'll probably do what they can to fight the lax on copyright laws for the sheer fact that they want every bit of money that they can get and squeeze any penny out of anything. But that's really all I gotta say. Hopefully, despite all this stuff, I'm hoping that maybe something can fill the void of Juice Penguin, or better yet, maybe Juice Penguin could probably revive, but I highly doubt it, because I'm pretty sure it's been like 4 or 5 years, maybe shorter, but I don't know. Remember the exact date. I know it's been at least 2014, the last time Juice Penguin has done something. At least as far back as 2014. I do know they could have done something a little bit afterwards. Not quite sure, but I remember vividly then 2014. There were still shows being produced by Juice Penguin. But anyway, that's the end of my rant. Sorry for, like, the many pauses, but it's what happens when you kind of do this stuff on the fly. So hopefully next time I can go back to regularly doing podcasts, and hopefully I'll have some open source games for you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.